I would like for you to turn to the fourth chapter of Matthew. This is the beginning of the ministry in a formal way of Jesus Christ. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he was. And in verse 11, it says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now, just to let you know that Galilee is a mean city. I'm not talking about mean-spirited. I mean, the Bible calls it a mean place, or a place where deplorables live. You know, we've heard that term used of certain people recently in the past few years. People that are considered deplorable by other people. That's this mean city, this Galilee. It's where Jesus went. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, or Capernaum, known, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." See that, Galilee of the Gentiles. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately left the ship, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. See, this was a mean city, but there were Jews that lived here. It was Galilee of the Gentiles, but they had synagogues there. Y'all know what a synagogue is? It is a Jewish place of worship. that was just a subsidiary of the temple. So the temple would be, for lack of a better term, the mothership, and a synagogue would be a satellite, okay, or church. Only it was not autonomous in itself. It got their marching orders from the temple. Or the synagogue wasn't, it was good, but it wasn't as good as the temple, you understand? But it was a blessing for people that didn't live in Jerusalem to have that, for to worship and to learn about the Lord. So, there was a synagogue there, or at least they learned about the law there. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He did this in the mean city. He did this in Galilee of the Gentiles. And yet, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel later. I rather suspect that there were some people that he healed that weren't Jews. But as far as teaching and preaching the kingdom, he didn't do that specifically to the Gentiles. He did that to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet, the Gentiles were recipients of his mercy. Y'all get this picture? It's like they saw Jesus doing good and they recognized that he was the very fountainhead of mercy in healing people that were sick. You know, I think I just want to be real. If you had a child that was sick, or you were sick yourself, you might not be so interested in the finer points of doctrine and theology, would you? You'd be more concerned immediately about having your issue resolved, whether it was sickness or palsy, especially if you saw someone who could speak the word only, and you were made whole. Sometimes this is simple reading, okay? But sometimes I think we forget the background of Jesus. Now, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Listen to this. And his fame went throughout all Syria. You know where Syria is? Syria borders Palestine, Judea, to the north. And it's a Gentile place. There were some Jews there, but historically they were wanting to, or most of them stayed closer towards Jerusalem. You remember the Syrophoenician woman? She was from Syria. That she was partly Syrian. You remember her? She was the one that the Lord said, she came to the Lord and said, I've got a daughter that's sick. And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's not meet for me to take the children's bread or meat and give it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, truth. Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That's that Syria. That Syrophoenician woman is from this place. Syria. His fame went throughout Syria. Now, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases. That means diverse or all kinds of diseases. And torments. And those which were possessed with devils. And those which were lunatic. And those that had the palsy. And he healed them. That's a wide variety, isn't it? That's a wide variety. Not only those that were possessed with devils, but those that were lunatic or insane. Insane people. There's a lot of lunatics today. A lot of insanity today, isn't there? Doesn't just have to be somebody that's, you know, running naked through a ball field. Doesn't have to be somebody like that. And there followed him great multitude. I bet they were. Great multitudes of people followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now that's the backdrop for chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want us to think about this for a minute. Y'all know we spent a great deal of time going through all of these things and that these Beatitudes, and I want us to remember the setting of this sermon. This sermon is Jesus' radical teaching to explain the kingdom at hand. To explain that kingdom at hand that he said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here, it's within your grasp, and here we go. Jesus is going to explain about how that kingdom is different from what they think. Different than any kingdom that they've experienced. Different than any kingdom that they've read about. And probably different than a lot of these folks have heard about, being from a mean city, even though they were Jewish. Multitudes were there. But when his disciples came unto him after he was set. Y'all get that picture. They waited the Lord to get set. They weren't just talking with him by the way now. He set, Jesus set in one place. And then they came to him after he was set. And then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I want you to realize what this means. What does being poor mean? I mean, what comes to your mind first when somebody says they're poor? They don't have much. They're destitute. Lacking. They're not only destitute, but it has the idea also of so destitute that they're begging. They're begging. Now, there are beggars out there that do it as their job. There are beggars out there that feign to be beggars. But there are some real beggars out there that are poor. And Jesus says, this kind of beggar that's blessed is the poor in spirit. Those that are destitute of... That doesn't mean that they, just the very fact that they have a need and feel their need and are begging for the Spirit is an indicator that these people are blessed. They're poor in spirit. They realize that they're beggars at mercy's door. They realize that they have there's a difference between just, you can be poor and not owe anything, can't you? You can be poor and not have any debt. And that's bad. But then there's the case where you have, you're impoverished and in debt. That you have nothing to pay. And you must beg, not only to get out of the hole, but just to get back to where you're poor. My friends, I want you to understand that our case, in terms of God Almighty, and in terms of satisfying His justice, and in terms of reaching the pinnacle of righteousness that we need before Him, we are in complete debt. We're not just poor, we're Pope, which is my mother's maiden name, by the way. She was a Pope. I guess I am too. Beggar. Jesus says that that man, that woman, that child that has this poverty of spirit is blessed. Do you realize how many people would consider beggars that you see around blessed? The world doesn't like beggars, do they? They would rather they just went away. They would rather they just went away. I want to give you an example of this in as a contrast. Do you remember the Pharisee and the publican? How that the Pharisee, when he went to pray, there was some space between them because he wouldn't come near to somebody like that. Do y'all know what a publican is, right? You know what a Pharisee is? A Pharisee is one that were very religious people, very religious, and very self-righteous. They knew a lot about the book. They knew a lot about God's law. They studied in it all the time. And they considered themselves the best among everybody else. They're better than everybody else. They're holier than thou, we call that. We use that term now, holier than thou attitude. The Pharisee had an holier than thou attitude because they were self-righteous. You know what a publican is? A publican is a man that was a tax collector that was a Jew that worked for the Romans and took taxes of the Jews for collection by the Romans. He worked for the Roman government against his own people. And the Jews considered the publicans the scourge of their humanity. They were Jews, but they still considered them really no better than a dog. And they put them in there with publicans and sinners, which they didn't think themselves to be at all. The Pharisees, you understand. So there was a great social class difference. You notice that Jesus didn't go to the righteous people, did he? Oh, he had concourse with them. He conversed with them. But he wasn't sent to them, was he? He wasn't sent to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, wasn't he? Right. Now, Jesus says here that, so that's the stage that we've got, that's the two kind of classes of people that we've got that we're talking about here. The Pharisee, when they went to pray, and the Pharisee stood up and he looked up, raised his eyes up to heaven like this, like he was talking to God straightway, and he says, God, I thank thee that I'm not like this publican. He's a mean man, meaning he's pitiful. He's a sinner, and he works for the Roman government, and he takes our money and gives to the Romans. And he's probably lying, cheating, and stealing and keeping a bunch of our money back for himself and making gain for himself, which some of them did. You know, Zacchaeus was one. Did y'all know that? Zacchaeus was a publican. And he says, I thank you that I'm not like this man. I fast during the week. I pay tithes. I'm so good. Thank you that I'm not like him. And then the publican prays when he got finished with his great self-exalting oration to God. And the publican didn't even feel worthy to cast his eyes upon heaven. And he smote his breast and he said these words, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He owned his poverty before a holy God. He wasn't pleading his case before a holy God. He owned his sinfulness. And I want you to know that the Bible says that that publican went to his house justified rather than the good man or the Pharisee. The one that considered himself to be good. That's the blessing of the poor in spirit. Because you know what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are some, that's the blessing of being poor in spirit. You can rest assured, folks, that if you have that same kind of attitude that the publican did, that you recognize and own your sinfulness before a holy God, then rest assured, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's not telling us to go around in the mully grubs all the time. And I want you to, let's read. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see that? That's talking about mourning now and something and some comfort that comes in the future. You notice that he says the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means right now. You got it? Let's go through these kind of slow. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there's a lot of people that mourn a lot of things. Some people mourn over their sins. Some people mourn over the loss of loved ones. Some people mourn a lot of things. It says, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. What is meek? Meekness means that you are, for lack of a word, it kind of has come to mean that you're humble. I mean really humble, not false humility. I'm talking about really humble. It's a meek spirit. It's one that can reprove someone without them getting mad because they have do it in such a great attitude. That's meekness. And meek, you know, Jesus was meek. Meekness does not mean weakness. Y'all got that? Meekness does not mean that you're weak. It just means that you have your humble attitude with control. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, when I play, I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to be funny. When I played football, I was a lineman around a bunch of big people. Been around big people all my life. And our coach used to tell us, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he meant the bigger you are, the more weight you got to push around, the more you will push around, and the more you push around, the more you're going to enjoy your life. Playing football, I mean. That's what he meant. Friends, that's the view of the world. You got it? He changed the scriptures to fit. I guess he might have been trying to be funny. I don't know. It wasn't funny to me. I never thought that was funny. I wanted to be good at what I did, but I didn't want to do it at the expense of him changing the scripture. Even as a teenager, that didn't sit right with me. Now, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's not true in the world, is it? It is not true. Nope, the world doesn't look at poverty as being a blessing. They certainly don't look at people who are mourning over their sins as a blessing. Yo, they try to cover it up, don't they? Now, I want y'all to think about this. How many commercials do you see for depression? And what is the world's remedy for depression? Medicine. I'm not saying people don't need medicine. Some people really need medicine because they have an actual chemical imbalance that requires it. But I'm telling you, how many people do you know that are on medicine and it doesn't fix the problem? You know why? Because they're treating the wrong problem, or they're using the wrong treatment for the problem. Let me say it like that. The problem for a lot of people isn't that they have a chemical imbalance, but the problem for a lot of people is that they're not being obedient to the commands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they're not living as children of the kingdom. They're not living according to the principles of the kingdom. Do y'all see that? I'd be depressed too if I was kicking against God being one of His children. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That means that if you're hungry, that means you're going to be filled. If you're thirsty, your thirst will be quenched. This is talking about hungry and thirsty people. If you're not hungry for righteousness, you don't need to be filled with it. If you're not thirsty for righteousness, there's no need for you to be quenched, your thirst to be quenched, because you're not thirsty for righteousness. But Jesus says, if you do have that, you're blessed. First of all, you're blessed. And second of all, He promises you're going to be filled. You're going to be filled. If you hunger, He's not telling... Do y'all see a pattern here? He's not telling us to be thirsty. He's not telling us to be hungry so that we can be filled. He's telling us that you're blessed if you are. He's describing children of the kingdom. here. He's not telling you to become a child of the kingdom by having these attitudes, which I thought for a long time, and so many people do still. He's describing children of the kingdom. That was a great revelation to me. He's not telling us to be poor in spirit so that we'll have the kingdom. He's telling us, those of us that are poor in spirit, that we're blessed because the kingdom is ours. Do y'all get that? He's describing these children. So he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do y'all see any mercy? Any mercy in the world? Do you see any mercy in the world? If you do, there's something to be gained from it. You don't see mercy applied for no reason. You don't see mercy applied for mercy's sake in the world. If you do, that's a child of God operating in the world. You see that? Because the world doesn't have mercy. The world doesn't operate that way. But God's kingdom does. And he says, blessed are the merciful. He's not saying be merciful in order to be blessed. He's saying that from the very get-go, that there are some merciful people out there just because. And Jesus says those people are the ones that are blessed, for they shall obtain mercy from God. You know what? They already have. You know what? Because they wouldn't be merciful had He not already shined upon them. But he says they're going to continue to receive mercy because they're merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. How many people do you know that pure in heart kind of means sincere? How many people do you know tell you the truth in your workplace, among your circle of friends? How many people really tell you the truth? All of it? So that you don't have to wonder where they're at. Or how you're doing with your... Or are you like me? Do you wonder if folks are telling you the whole story? Or are you constantly trying to read between the lines when you're talking to somebody? And not a whole lot of sincere people out there, really, are there? I want you to think about it. What angle? My problem is, one of my problems is I expect folks to be sincere. That's one of my downfalls, I guess. I expect when I tell somebody to some somebody and they tell me something, I expect them to tell me everything that has to deal with that situation. Not hold nothing back and not give me any innuendos. Tell me the truth. Folks don't do that though. Don't know why. Yeah, I do. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sincere people. You know, you can be sincere without being like a bulldozer. Y'all get that? Each one of these is a whole sermon. But he says, for they shall see God. Not they might. They shall see God. And listen to this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I take that to mean that people are going to see that they're peacemakers and they're going to say, that man right there is a child of God. By other people. See, because if you're a peacemaker, what do you do? If you're a peacemaker, what do? You are the relator or mediator between two opposing parties, and you help bridge the gap or bring those two parties together so that they're not opposed anymore. Like if you have, I've been a mediator all my life, being a middle child. I'm not saying I've always been good about it, good at it, especially, you know, with trying to make peace between my brother who's younger and my sister who's older. That's a big job in a family, to be a middle child. And it's a real thing. I want y'all to know it's a real thing. But how many of y'all have had two friends, like you've been friends with both people, but yet those people are at odds with one another, and you're in the middle, and you try to smooth it out, and maybe you can restore that breach? Blessed are you if you try to help that. Says folks will call you the children of God when you're a peacemaker. Finding solutions to bring people together. Finding common ground from which to build upon. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Peacemakers. Blessed are they, listen to this, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What's the second part of this? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just like the poor in spirit. But you know, that's the blessedness of this one. You know, some of these other blessed things are that they'll be called the children of God, that they shall obtain mercy, that they shall be filled, and all this. This says that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means that if you're persecuted for doing right, For righteousness' sake, then yours is the kingdom of heaven. If you have a right attitude and you get persecuted for it, rest assured that you're blessed. You're blessed. I take comfort in that. And we all should. And he says, and he goes on and he expounds on this more. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. That means revile means to make fun of or to slander you. And persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, he says, and be exceeding glad. Now, I want us to get the picture. Somebody's accusing you of doing something that you haven't done, and they have persecuted for you doing it, and are saying you did all these things falsely. That means they lied about it. And he says, for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, he says. Well, I don't like it when people lie about me. I don't like it when I do right and for righteousness' sake. I don't like it when I'm following the Lord and other people say, they bring accusations. I don't like that. But you know what? The Bible tells me to rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. For great. And be exceeding glad. Exceeding glad. You know, why is that? Why did he say for you to be exceeding glad? How can you be exceeding glad? I think it has to be because you're not worried about satisfying a worldly master. Because if you're going the same way as the world wouldn't bring false accusations against you, would it? It would say, yeah, they're in our sludge pit. Slime pit. But when you follow the Lord, they don't like it. Satan don't like it. He said, listen, it's rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He's saying, don't worry about it. They persecuted all the prophets. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. All of them were persecuted to some extent or other. They weren't listened to by the people. Most of them. The fathers persecuted them. Sometimes they had them put to death. But the Lord says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. If you are all these things, you're blessed. If you're one of them, you're blessed. But I rather think if you're one, you possess a bunch of them. You're not just going to be poor in spirit and not be the other things. You're not just going to be one of these things isolated. You're going to be most of these things, if not all. Because it's an attitude of heart instead an attitude of doing. or a show of it. It comes from the inside out, not the outside in. I want us to think about those things. I want us to think about how radical this teaching is. I want us to think about how the Lord took this kingdom of heaven and He's beginning to explain it to these multitudes that He had healed, that are following Him because He is the stream of mercy. These people, these deplorable people that everybody else has cast away, the Lord says, you're blessed. I want us to have that attitude before a holy and righteous God. That everything good that we have came from Him, and give Him thanks. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to follow Jesus Christ in the paths of righteousness, you may come and join yourself with this church body. You may come as we sing the last song. Let your wishes be known. May God bless us all this week to honor Him with our lives and our lips.